Book of Romans, chapter 2, the last verse that we looked at together is verse 11. And verse 11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." And that means, remember, God doesn't play favorites. He loves you just as He loves all the others. And I know sometimes you think He loves all those others better than me. Not true. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. We may be the weakest in His family, but He loves us anyway. Now, don't forget that. Now, we're going to go into a section here that, I don't know, people have told me, I read it and I don't understand it. And that's okay. I do that with my Bible quite often. There are times I'll read and I'll think, Lord, I just read it and I don't know what you're saying, or I don't even know what's going on. So don't panic. We'll just take a look at it. We'll break it down and read it verse by verse. And that always helps when you do that. Now, there is no respect of persons with God. Verse 12 says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." And you say, my goodness, what does that mean? Well, it's going to explain it to us. Don't panic. It helps us out here. See, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which do not have the law, do by nature the things that are contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. There, that helps us to understand. He says, see, those that don't have the law, they sin without the law, they'll perish without the law. We're learning that the judgment, and of course we all know judgment is coming, is different than some people think. Because a lot of times you'll be witnessing to others, and they want to get the subject off themselves. That's just common. That's understood. You start to say you need Jesus, and they don't want to talk about me. They want to talk about all those tribes somewhere else. Let's get it off of me and get it someplace where I can. And they come up with really foolish arguments and foolish questions. Well, what happens if this person dies and they did that, and they go into all this? Well, look. The conscience of an individual is going to talk to that individual. We read in verse 14, "When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do naturally the things that are contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Without the law, his conscience within him and his nature. Notice that the person who doesn't have the law, still inside, knows the difference between right and wrong. Do you see that written there? When he says their conscience talks to them about it. It says here, their thoughts, the meanwhile, either accuse them or excuse them. Do you know that even without God's law written, you can go anywhere in the world and you can say to that person, "Do you know the law of God?" And they go, "I don't know what God, I don't know what you're talking about." And you'll say, "Is it legal to murder in your village?" And they will tell you without exception, "No, that is no good. That is evil. That is bad." Well, where did they pick that up? If it wasn't written on some 10 tablets, where did they get it? Well, this Bible tells us it's written on their hearts. Mankind is born knowing right from wrong. And they're going to be judged according to that. How their conscience, whether they went against their own conscience or not. Now, when you talk about Gentiles, you're talking about everyone except a Jew. And so that's how Paul delineates it here. You're either a Gentile or you're a Jew. And if you're a Gentile and you don't have the law, like some people say, what about those tribes? What about that group of people I just read about in South America? What about those ones they just discovered way on up there in Alaska? They didn't even know that they were around. What about them? You go there, and if you can communicate with them, you're going to find out that they know what's right and they know what's wrong. How did they figure it out? It's in their hearts already. I'll read it to you again. "For when the Gentiles," verse 14, "which have not the law, do naturally the things that the law contains, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Naturally, they will tell you murder is no good. That's built into the heart of every individual that is born. And so no one will have, metaphorically speaking, a leg to stand on when the judgment day comes, because they will have gone against their own conscience in some areas. How do I know that? Or why do I say that? Because all of us are sinners. We are born naturally to sin. We are children of Adam and children of Eve. We have a sin nature. When you sin, that didn't make you a sinner. You sinned because you were born a sinner. See, I was born a sinner. And so immediately when I got my first chance, I sinned as soon as I was able. I threw a tantrum, or I started saying, I was selfish. Nobody taught me to be selfish. They needed to teach me, don't be selfish. But in my heart, in your heart, we know right from wrong. Now, as we move into a new century, a new millennium, the mystery religions will rule the new millennium. Mystery religions, they're secret, they're hidden, they're occult. Occult means, the word just means hidden, secret. See, you can have an occult tumor, the doctors call it. You think, really? Is it demon possessed? No, that just means it's hidden. It's in there, but it's hard to find. It's hidden. It's occult. And the mystery religions, they're going to run the world basically until the Lord comes back. And you can find that in the book of Revelation. You'll see Mystery Babylon. And if you take a look at Mystery Babylon and the religion of the Great Tribulation period, and you then take a look back at the old mystery religions, they're all the same. And one of the things that they are beginning to promote and have been promoting for the last 20 years, they're promoting this idea that there is no evil. Yet everyone's heart knows there is. You know, when a mom and dad take a baby, and I just noticed that a couple of parents were just convicted this last week of torturing their little four-year-old to death, burning and beating and breaking things and shoving the child finally into a door, and the doorknob went through the baby's head. Believe me when I tell you, they're probably not Christians. They may not even have heard of the Ten Commandments, but in their hearts, they know what they did is wrong. Of course, now there's a penalty to be paid. But that penalty is nothing compared to the judgment that is coming. And the judgment that is coming, each time a person goes against their conscience, will be brought back up to them. Don't worry, God is just. You worried about those tribes way down in South America? They know in their hearts what is good and what is evil. And God will hold them to that. Now, there's a verse in here that I didn't skip it. I read it, but we went past it. Listen to this. Not the hearers of the law are just before God, verse 13, but the doers of the law shall be justified. One of the traps, and you can call it a danger if you like, because it is a danger. One of the dangers, a person who reads their Bible regularly and attends church regularly, there's a real danger for that person. And that's me and you, hopefully. A real trap that they fall into, a danger. They study the Word of God faithfully. They sit and they do the inductive Bible studies. They know how to do that kind of thing. They look at the Greek words. They figure out what it says. They're reading it regularly. They're studying it regularly. But they fall into a real danger, a real trap. And that is, they think that studying their Bible or hearing their Bible at church is doing it. And that is not the truth. Just because you may know the Bible better than anybody in the room, but if you are not doing it, you're nowhere. I knew a young lady who, she just read her Bible all the time. People just thought she was the nicest thing, and she was nice, but she wasn't doing what the Bible said. She was just busy studying it and reading it a lot. And you know, when sometimes people get together, they discuss the Bible, they talk about it, and they walk away going, man, that was a neat time. I like him. That's what he likes. I like her. But the fact is, both of them walk away not doing what it says. James talks about that. Be ye doers, James 1:22, of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The trap that we fall into is we look at those out there that don't know the law or don't know Jesus, and we say, whoa, what a bunch of losers. Yet still here we are with God's word, reading it, going to church, and walking out and still not doing what it says. And he says, not the hearers of the law are just before God. You can go to church the rest of your life, every night of the week. You can read your Bible 10 times a day. You can read your Bible all day, never go to work. And you can really be looking and sounding holy. But the truth is, as Mr. Ironsides put it, the only part of the Bible you believe is the part that you practice. And so I've heard Pastor Chuck say, when you go to church on Sunday or Friday or Wednesday or Thursday, or when you read your Bible at your quiet time or during the day or during the week, whenever you do that, ask God as you're reading, Lord, give me something to do. I'm reading what your word says. Show me how to do it. Give me something to do. I need to do what God's word says. And that's what he means in verse 13. You know, those without the law are going to be judged without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Everyone will be judged righteously and correctly. Now, that ought to cause you and I to say, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the free gift of your son, because I'm never going to get this right. I'm never going to get it right. If I'm trying to be more holy, if I'm trying to be more spiritual, if I'm trying to be anything, I'm not going to get it right. And the closest I can come is going to be filthy rags. Thank you for grace. And that's why Romans is called the gospel of grace. And he says, but now, those without the law, judged without the law, those that sin in the law, judged by the law, but because not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And Jesus does mention to those who love him, he says, if you love me, do what I tell you. Obey my commandments. It's not a works mentality. It's a real life you've got going. But our danger is in thinking that because I'm reading my Bible and I'm going to church and hearing the word, that I'm doing it. No, no, you're not doing it unless you're doing it. Now, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples, the night he was betrayed, Jesus says in John 13:17, if you know these things, all that I'm telling you, happy are you if you do them. Now, you're not going to be happy if you're not doing them. Christians should be happy. If you catch yourself a little under that, a lot of times it's because we're not doing it. We just know it. We can quote it, but we're not living it. It is an action. We should be doing it. He says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And then we go on now. In verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. See, remember, another reminder, that day is coming. The day of judgment is coming for each one of us. And we talked about those four judgments before. Behold, you that are called a Jew, you rest in the law, and you make your boast of God. You know his will, and you approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You're confident that you yourself are the guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness. You're an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babies, of the babes, which has from the which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. He says, now you Jews, in particular, he says, you've got God. You've got the only true living God that there is. You are the chosen people. You've got the law. You know what your God is all about. You've got God's will right before you. You know what God's will is concerning many things. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Right? In everything, they give thanks. So you know the will. He says, you got it together. You're confident, as a matter of fact. You're instructed out of the law. You're confident that you are a guide to the blind. You're confident that the news you've got should be told to others. Christians, you can think this way too. The news I've got is good news. I should be telling it to others. I am confident that Jesus Christ is the way, and so I should be telling others. He says, you're an instructor of the foolish. You're a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. He says, well, you therefore, because of all that, you which teach another, don't you teach yourself also? Or another way to put it is, are you teaching yourself also? You that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say that a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that make your boast of the law, through breaking the law, don't you dishonor your God? Now, of course, the thought goes on and on. As you're teaching others, you're teaching yourself. Are you listening? How many times have you said to others, hey, man, you got a lousy attitude. Hey, man, you're committing adultery. And how many times when Jesus said, if you looked on a woman or women, if you look on a man to lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. How many times have you done that, yet you're telling others not to do it? How many times have you told others not to steal, but you're stealing? What he's saying is, are you being a doer of the word of God or not, or just a hearer? It is easy to tell everybody what to do, but what are we doing ourselves, he says. You that make your boast of the law, through breaking the law, you dishonor the Lord God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Hypocrisy gives a non-believer a reason to blaspheme God. Every time. They'll watch you and me. And when we live in hypocrisy, they will see it and they'll say, I don't want any part of that. This Christian life's just a bunch of garbage. This Jesus you're all talking about. I don't even accept it. And we don't want to live that way. It gives non-believers a reason to blaspheme God. You say, you should love your husband. You should love your wife. And then you don't love yours. And he says, that's what Paul says. You're not a doer. You set yourself to tell others because you're in a position where you've been given. He says, you Jews, you've got the only true God. You've got the law. You've got all the benefits. Now, are you doing what should be done? It's a reminder to all of us as believers. 2 Samuel, when David had sinned with Bathsheba, and now it has come out publicly, Nathan is there in the courtroom and bringing it out publicly, David finally says, I am guilty, I have sinned. And Nathan says to him, God says you're not going to die. God has mercy and he's going to let you live a little longer, but you're going to have trouble. He says, the baby is going to die. Let me read it to you. 2 Samuel verse 12. I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 14. He says, but, he's speaking to David, this is the word of God now, because this deed has given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto you shall surely die. Because you have given the non-believers a good reason to reject my word, to blaspheme my name, to turn even further from me, then understand, David, you're forgiven, but there is some suffering coming. The child will die. The innocent child dies for the sins of others. Of course, a simple example of Jesus Christ, who died innocent, dying for others. The communication to us is that God will judge righteously God knows all. He will bring out the secrets of the heart. So for those who you ask, well, what about those who have never heard of Jesus? The truth is, there's judgment coming and everyone will. And if you know people that haven't heard about Jesus, then let's get to them. Because what we want to tell them is there's good news. You are not going to have to stand there and answer for any sin, because Jesus will wash your sin away. You'll be completely forgiven. You will never answer for your sin. That is good news. That's something we want to be telling the whole world. Because what a great thing for me to know. I am not going to have to explain myself. I am not going to have to ever stand and answer for all of this ignorance and stupidity in my life. The sin in my life is gone. Now, I still walk in foolishness. I'm still in the flesh, and the flesh fights the spirit, and many times it wins. And so instead of walking in the spirit, many times I'm walking in the flesh. We'll talk about that really in depth when we get to chapter 7. But understand that you as a believer, even though you are still sinning, and many days are days that are what we call bad hair days for you, you are forgiven. Your sin's gone. It's grace. We should be thankful. We should be wanting to listen to the Lord and wanting to follow. Look at all He's done for us. Well, let's move on. He says this now. He goes into the circumcision question. He says, well, let me read verse 24 again. Now remember, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, just as it is written. Don't just read your Bible. Read it and ask God for something to do. That's what we should all begin to practice. Lord, give me something to do. Show me how to do it. Give me your Holy Spirit that I might walk and do it today. I want to be doers of the word. Therefore, for circumcision truly profits if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now remember what circumcision is. A circumcision is an outward sign of what is going on inside the heart. Do you understand that? He goes, circumcision profits if you keep the law. If you, Jews, you're circumcised, you say, that's an outward sign, I belong to God. I'm part of the Jewish family. I belong to God. And he says, great. But if you are breaking the law, the circumcision is made uncircumcision. Although you still carry the symbol of belonging to God, you aren't following God. Well, let's put it another way. An outward symbol of what's taking place on the inside. Let's just move it up to the church. Baptism is an outward symbol to the rest of the world of what has already taken place in my heart. When you're baptized, you are showing the world that you have died and risen again with Jesus. But you can walk around saying, I've been baptized, but if you don't walk in the Lord, that baptism is almost like nothing, isn't it? It's just like having a nice little dunk. You can say, oh, I take communion. Each time our church shares communion, I just pray and I'm thankful to God and I take communion. But you see, that's like an outward thing. What's going on inside? Some people say they go to different denominations, and some of the denominations will have what they call a confirmation. And so people will tell you, yes, I've been confirmed. Hey, great. That was an outward sign and a ceremony to everybody else. But what's going on in the inside? You say, I'm a Jewish person, I'm circumcised. Great, but it becomes uncircumcision, doesn't it? You know, we were building a church in southern Arizona, and we were using our bare hands to do it in tools, and I'm great with tools. You just wait, if we ever start to build our own, you'll see. You just don't, you know, when I have a hammer in my hand, they call me lightning because I never strike in the same place twice. I mean, I'm just everywhere. And I was on the roof, and I was a little younger than this, and it was time to quit, and we'd been working forever, and you know how some of you do. Everybody's climbing down the ladders. I just grab a hold to a little piece of wood, and I swing out there, and I jump off. And my wedding ring caught on a nail. Don't they tell you in construction, don't wear any jewelry? Well, if you're a pastor, you don't know that. And I jumped, and it caught on that nail. Well, it tore my finger pretty good, but it didn't rip the finger off. But it did tear gold is kind of soft, and it ripped the ring, tore the ring. And so, and I still to this day haven't been able to get a ring. Now I'll tell you something. The ring is a symbol of what? Being married. You see, I'm still just as married without the ring. Does that make sense to you? I'm trying to show you what these symbols are like. Look, I'll read on. I'll show you what I mean. If the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Just because you're not wearing that ring doesn't make you any less married. Don't you understand? It's what's going on in the heart that is the issue. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh only. You see, I worked in barrooms for part of my life because I did a lot of music, and I met a lot of young men and women. I remember one couple in particular. They're sitting over kind of like in the corner talking to one another. And of course, being a very shy guy, I thought I'd go up and say hello anyway. I walk over there to them, young, nice looking couple, both of them wearing wedding rings. And we get to chatting, and I learned that they are married, but not to each other. Oops. And they were there meeting, of course, he married a jerk and she married a jerk. And now they're with each other. And I wanted to say, well, as a dog returns to his vomit, you're sitting with a girl who's willing to sit with you. Think about that for a second. And you're both married. So she's got a problem to begin with. And excuse you, you still got. But anyway, the point was, both of them together, married to someone else, wearing wedding rings. So even though the wedding ring was there, it was a symbol of nothing in their lives, wasn't it? So you can say, yeah, I got that symbol in my life. Jew says, I'm circumcised. Hey, if you're not living it, it's uncircumcision. That symbol means nothing to no one at that point. Do you understand the point? That's what Paul is saying. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Do you hear that? What's going on in my life and in yours as believers is in the heart, first of all. Now, you can read your Bible, and you should. You can go to church often, and I believe you should. But if you and I are doing those things and not doing what the Word says, we are deceiving ourselves. We are literally fooling ourselves. And you read in Deuteronomy, way on back in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'll read verses 15 through 18. Moses now speaking to the people. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, speaking to the Hebrews. Even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stubborn, stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons, nor takes a bribe or reward. He says, you know you've been chosen. Grace has been poured out upon you. So circumcise. Have your hearts circumcised. Get rid of the flesh. Get rid of the ugly. And an inside change should take place for you and me. And that's what Paul's teaching when he talks about this in chapter 2. And understand that our lives, we can say to anybody how great they are or how bad they are. But the fact is, without Jesus, you will stand to be judged for those sins. With Jesus, your sins are washed away. You'll be judged for your works, whether they're good or bad. We'll all be judged. A judgment time is coming for me. A judgment time is coming for you. Now, you can look at others and go, I wouldn't want to be them on the judgment day. But the truth is, what we ought to be saying is, Lord, I want something to do. I want to be a doer of your word, not just a hearer only. I want to serve you. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. And if you see someone that you feel, in your professional opinion, isn't doing so well, what does the Bible say to do? Pray for them. If they're a believer, doesn't the Bible say exhort them? What do believers normally do? I'm not going to hang around with her, man. Look at her. I'm not hanging out with him. They'll just, no. Now, instead of being willing to love them and exhort them, we just say, I don't have nothing to do with them, man. I'm holy. I'm clean. And that's, we've forgotten. We haven't been doing what the Bible says. When you do what the Bible says, Jesus specifically says, you will be happy. Happy are you. What does the whole world tell us they want? Just want to be happy. Just want to have, I want to be at rest on the inside. Just want to be happy. Then do what God's word says. Lord, give me something to do. Teach me. Strengthen me. You know, if you want to have a good time, I mean a good time, to where you're going to go, this is kind of fun. Start to serve people. Start to serve them. Just at a church function or maybe at a whatever is going on, begin to serve people. When we get together and do our dinners and our whatever we do, man, you start serving. You have a ball. You know, you're worn out, okay. But, man, you're having so much fun, you don't notice it until finally you sit down. Happy are you. It's just something, your problems are gone because you're busy running to get somebody water. Get hot water. Get hot water. It's my job. You got a job to do. You got somebody to take it to, and you're happy. You forget about how ugly things are. You forget about income taxes, just another week, and we start thinking about that again. But it all just, you know, nothing pressures you when you're just with family and serving them. You're doing what God says. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, Jesus says, learn to be the servant of everybody. If you love me, obey my commandments. Remember that baptism that you guys were baptized and you were dunked in that water? Remember, it's just a symbol. Just like the wedding ring, just like many symbols that all of us see around the world. You see, if you have a wedding ring and you're lusting after other men or other women, well, see that wedding ring? It means nothing to nobody. It's just like the circumcision becomes uncircumcision because we're not doing what God says. We want to change from the inside. Have our hearts cleansed. Jesus can do that. Read your Bible. Pray about these things. Okay, let's bow our heads together.